Well, good morning, Shepherd of the Hills. How are you guys doing today? Good. We're very excited that you guys are here with us today. We are finishing up our Meet Jesus series. This will be our last sermon for that. We're talking about the raising of Lazarus from the death. So one of the most spectacular miracles that Jesus did. And we're going to get to that in a second. But why don't we first bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity for us to be here, gathering together as a body, God. We thank you for all those who are here with us today. We just pray that in all that we do, it would be honoring to you. We pray for those who might be going through a tragedy right now or might have gone through one, God, that you might encourage our hearts through this. And we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, in a bit, we're going to be talking about tragedy. We all go through tragedies. We all go through unexpected things in life. But as I was praying, God really put in my heart to make sure that I encourage his people with hope. So we're actually going to start there. So I'm going to ask you guys to do a little something, want a little audience participation. Before we get to the tragic parts of stuff, we're going to talk about what is one thing that you can praise God for today? What is one thing you can praise God for today? I will start us off. I would like to praise God that I didn't have to do the Good News Mystery Box. That was, yes. Good job, Pastor Colin. Way to go with the Furby. That was good. I like that. So for you guys, what is one thing that you might be excited about, one thing you can praise God for today? Yes.
Family.
For what?
For a loving family.
A loving family. That's important. What else?
Grace.
Grace. That's awesome. What else? Yep.
I'm grateful that God answers prayer because my mom's still alive because of that.
God answers prayer. Your mom is still alive because of that. Amen to that. What else? Yeah.
Praise God that I'm here today.
That you're here today. Any of us can give that one. Yes, back there, Sibylla.
That he woke you up.
Amen to that. Back in the back, Allie.
Good friends.
Very good.
I'm thankful for God being in my life.
Okay. God being in your life and turning your life around. That's great. Let's see if we can get a few others. Anyone else? What's one thing that you are grateful for today? Yes, Mary.
I'm grateful that this is a house of prayer.
Amen. Okay, and grateful for all the prayers of all the people. Anyone else? Well, in all seriousness, one of the things I am grateful is that no matter what I've been going through throughout the last couple of weeks, I can honestly say that every single day God is growing me and helping me to learn a little bit more about him. Now, there are some days I wish he wouldn't teach me quite as much, but I do appreciate that. Today we're talking about tragedy, and the reason I wanted to start with praise is sometimes when we're going through a difficult time, we can only focus on the negative, only focus on what is going wrong, and we don't realize that we serve a God who cares about us, who loves us, and even during tragic times is there by our side trying to help us. Today we're going to learn about a family who went through a tragic time, the unexpected death of their brother, and how they cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, why don't you come? Please save him. Please help him." And you'll see through the story the many different things that not just only they learned, but I think we can learn as well. So we're going to take a look at John chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. We're going to read all of 1 through 44, but we're going to split it up as we go along as we highlight a few things throughout the book here. So John chapter 11, starting with verses 1 through 6. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. First off, I think this passage can help us by providing clarity during tragedy. Tragedies are often so hard because they're unexpected. They come out of nowhere. They're a hurricane that comes up, or maybe that phone call that you get in the middle of the night that one of your loved members is in the hospital or might have even passed away. Maybe it's a doctor's report that you have cancer or someone that you love is suffering. Again, tragedies strike us all. And tragedies strike the family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus because Lazarus was deathly ill. Now, one of the things we need to realize here is that Jesus had a connection with this family. You see, this family is where Jesus used to stay whenever he was traveling through Bethany. They provide a safe haven for him, fellowship. They were his friends. So that's why when Mary and Martha sends a letter to Jesus, they don't even ask him to come. They say, the one that you love is sick. Lazarus, your friend, is sick. It's almost implied that Jesus would, of course, come running and help out his friend. But he doesn't. And sometimes that's the hardest thing we can deal with when we're going through a tragedy. You see, for us who might be believers, for those who might trust in God with their faith, their whole hearts, their lives, it's often that reason that tragedies that strike us are even harder to grasp. Take it, you're doing everything that you can to follow God. You're trying to live in a right way, and you still get hit with bad times. Maybe you're in school, and you study all night for a test, only to find out that someone that you know cheated gets a better grade than you. Isn't that frustrating? Or maybe you put in hard days of work every single week, and that one slacker at work is the one who gets a promotion. Or maybe you've been eating healthy, you've been doing all that you're supposed to, and you still get a diagnosis that you have cancer, or that a loved one does. Where's the fairness in that? Again, that might be what Mary and Martha are going through. Jesus, we're the ones who gave you home. We're the ones that took care of you. We're your friends, and yet our brother is sick. Where are you, God? When we're dealing with tragedies, that's often the question we ask. God, where are you? Do you not hear my plea? Did you not hear our call? It's often our connection with God that causes the greatest frustration when we're going through a hard time. If we're doing what we know is not right and we get in trouble, we can reason through that. Yeah, I kind of brought that on myself. But again, it's these out-of-the-way circumstances, tragic moments in our life that are often the hardest to grasp. Here's what I want you to highlight from this passage. Jesus already knew that there was going to be purpose in this tragedy. He already knew that. He highlights that this tragedy is not the end of the journey. He says this whole thing that Lazarus is going through isn't going to end in death. For whatever you're going through, I think God says the same thing to us. Even for those of us who might have passed away, who might have died in the Lord, we know that if we're believers, we have the hope that we will see them again. That's one of the great benefits of being a Christian, knowing that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he can do the same for us. But for us, those of us here still on earth who are dealing with circumstances, maybe a relationship that broke up, maybe health problems, whatever it is, Jesus says, this tragedy will not end in your destruction. I still have plans, and I still have a purpose even in this. You see, we serve a God who has purpose in pain. This tragedy isn't here for no reason. Jesus says to his disciples that this is happening so that God might be glorified in myself as well. People might get to know me more through what is going on. Again, that's hard to understand when you're in the midst of a tragedy. Again, Jesus tells his disciples this. Mary and Martha don't know about this. All they know is that their brother's dying, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. Can I just give you encouragement today? In the midst of your tragedy, there is still purpose in that pain. You still have a God who's aware of it and who will act, even when he doesn't act as quickly as we might want to. Some of you guys know, I work with a nonprofit called Shattered Studios, where we share hope and faith through the arts to people who are dealing with hard times and suffering. And one of the great things about Shatter is I get to go around and be part of many different opportunities. One opportunity I had last weekend, which is why I wasn't here, is that I was invited to go to New Jersey to attend a Christian filmmakers conference. And while I was there, I got to meet a bunch of different people, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. But I got to meet this one guy. His name is Richard. I would like to introduce you to Richard. The reason I highlight Richard is because a few years ago, Richard had actually died of a drug overdose. The doctors were able to bring him back to life, and Richard said he credits that one moment as making him realize that he had to change his life around. Now, the story doesn't get positive instantly. He said for another 2 years he was struggling back and forth with this drug problem. But he credits that one moment in his life where he actually died, and the doctors brought him back as the key thing that made him say, God, I have to get straight with you. The great news is today Richard is clean, and he's actually pursuing Christian music. I got to spend some time with him. He's a great guy. I can't imagine the tragedy that his family went through with him dealing with drug addiction, with him learning that he was in the hospital, with them finding out that he had actually passed away. For that moment, I can't think about what his family went through, what his friends went through. But I do know that God had purpose even in that pain. Again, Richard credits that one moment as the turning point for his life when he realized, God, I have to get straight with you. It's stories like that why we love to quote this one verse in the Bible, Romans 8:28. It says, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his plan and purpose. Take a note there. It doesn't say that everything we face is good. Everything that we go through is going to be a good time. But God says he can use even those tragic circumstances to bring about positivity for ourselves and for others. Again, as we reflect on this part of the passage, provides clarity during tragedy. When you're going through a difficult time, there is still purpose. So have hope and hang in there. The next part of this passage reveals to us this. It demonstrates courage during difficulty. Demonstrates courage through difficulty. We're going to read verses 7 through 16. Then after this, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." It's an interesting passage. A lot of things are said here. First off, Jesus and his disciples are in danger if they go back to Bethany. Why? Because people were already upset about their message. Jesus was claiming to be the Son of God, to be part of God himself. That was blasphemy. There were certain sins and certain crimes that you commit that was thought of as being worse than others, that was seen as a sin against the whole community. That's why things such as stoning was allowed. Stoning is a very unique form of execution. There is not one executioner. The entire community picks up a stone and throws it at somebody. It's this idea that you've done something so bad that you've offended the whole community. And if you're allowed to live, that's going to infect others as well. That's what Jesus and his disciples were facing, simply because they brought the message of truth that God loves you. And that God loves you so much that he sent his son to live life on earth just like us, to walk like we do, to suffer like we do, so that we might get to know him better. Again, there are some dangers that we might face in life that are worth the risk. Jesus says, "I have to go to Bethany. There is a miracle that needs to happen, and there are people that need to see what God has sent before them. Even if that puts my life in danger, I need to go." Again, there are certain dangers that we might face in life, but they're worth the risk. If you're a student in school and you see someone getting picked on and you stand up for that person, there's a good chance you might get picked on as well. But is it worth the risk? If you're working your job and you know that the boss is being dishonest or you're doing things that are hurting other people and you stand up, there's a chance you might lose your job. But is it worth the risk? If you stand up, especially in today's world, and say, "I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I believe that God died for me, he died for you as well, and I believe that we owe God all of our lives," there's a danger that your friends might leave you, that your family might leave you. But is it worth the risk? Jesus thinks it is. And one of his disciples, Thomas, thinks it is as well. Thomas gets a bad rap. a lot of the times. We call him Doubting Thomas because he's the one when Jesus was resurrected that he wanted to see that for himself. But in this point, in this passage, I think we get a clear glimpse of Thomas's character. He says something that's very interesting. He says, Jesus is going to this place. He might die. Why don't we go with him? He knows full well that he's entering into danger by being with Jesus by his side. But he's willing to do that because he believes in Jesus so much. Do you remember or do you realize that today there are people suffering and dying just because they're Christians around the world? And I think when I reflect on that in my own life, would I be willing to do that? How easy do we have it so much when we think persecution is just someone getting angry at us because we're a Christian? When there are people who are literally dying because of their faith. That is the type of character Thomas is. He's willing to put his life on the line to follow Jesus. And I think that is the true definition of courage, is doing what you know is right in the midst of fear. Doing what you know is right in the midst of fear. Doesn't matter if you lose your job, doesn't matter if kids make fun of you, doesn't matter if people get angry at you. You're still going to do what you know God wants you to do. And that is the mark of courage. Jesus goes on in this passage, and he says something very interesting. He talks about walking by day and stumbling by night, and a lot of scholars wonder why Jesus said that right during this time. What is the significance of that? Two things that they often say is that this idea that Jesus is the light of the world, and we stumble without him. You see, there are people who were going to stone Jesus because they didn't realize who Jesus truly was. And there are many people in our lives, and even ourselves, we're walking down wrong paths. And if we don't follow Jesus, we're going to continue to walk in the darkness. We're going to continue to stumble in life. You see, when Jesus becomes your focus, he starts illuminating your path step by step. See, if you're living life just for yourself, or you're living life based on what media says or what family says, there are going to be some paths you walk down that are not going to be pleasant. But if you're following Jesus, even if those paths aren't always the funnest, they will always be the best. Because he cares about us and he loves us more than we love ourselves. And he will always lead us in the right direction. So there's this idea that Jesus might be saying, I need to go to Bethany so people can see the light of this world, that it's me, and that they need to follow me. Because if they continue to follow their own desires, their own paths, they will continue to be lost. The other idea of why Jesus said this is because he says there's 12 hours in a day, 12 hours at night. And this was a typical way during that time of how you told daylight and time. Again, it's just this idea that we all have the same amount of time in a day. And we all have free will, so we choose how we spend our time. Jesus was determined to use his time to accomplish the task before him. He didn't want to waste time. He always wanted to invest it wisely. What about you and your life? Are you living life in a purposeful way, with a goal in mind? Are you living life for God's glory? Or again, are you just pursuing whatever comes and whatever you might feel like in the day? God has given us the same amount of time in the day. How are you investing your time? Again, investing time might be sleeping and might be rest. We all need that. But during your waking hours, are you living life on purpose? Are you telling other people about his goodness? Are you showing love to people? Or are you just going through your day, just focus on you? Do you take time at the cash register when you're in the middle of the store to smile and say thank you to the person who greets you there? Do you take time to call people or to send a card when you know someone's hurting? Or are you so focused on your own issues, your own problems, that all that stuff gets left at the wayside? Jesus says we all have the same amount of time during the day. How are you using your time? Is it to do what you want, or is it to follow what God says? I just told you that I had this opportunity to go to this Christian Filmmakers Conference, and it was a great time, but I'm almost sad to say I almost didn't go. You see, I was invited to go by my friend Jeff. He works for Campus Crusade for Christ crew down in Florida, and he was actually supposed to fly up, be a guest speaker there, and he invited me along. Well, because of the hurricane, Hurricane Matthew, he was no longer able to make it. So now, about a day or two before the conference, I had a choice. Am I still going to go? And a whole bunch of plans had to now take place. I was going to stay with a couple that Jeff knew. Well, I don't know this couple, so of course they probably don't want me staying in their house. So now I have to find a hotel. I have to figure out what I'm going to speak about, because then I was asked to kind of sub in for them. And I'm usually really good at doing that. I don't mind speaking in front of people. For some reason, I started getting what I call spiritual panic attacks. Just a whole bunch of anxiety. And I was like, God, do you just not want me to go? What is going on? And it took me a long time to pray. I asked some people to pray for me. And it came down to this. The only reason why I would not go is just because I was afraid. And God has taught me a long time ago that just because you're afraid is not a good enough reason not to do something. Sometimes you have to do stuff afraid. God even says in the Bible over and over again, from Joshua to many people, do not be afraid. I am right there with you. Again, courage is doing what you know is right in the midst of fear. In the back of my head was, what if God wants me to go to this conference so maybe I can encourage someone and so that they can encourage me? Well, I'm glad to say I went to the conference, and I'm glad I went, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have met great people like this. This right here is Austin Williams. She is a former Miss America. She was the keynote speaker for the conference. And she had an interesting story, because her family was in South Carolina, her husband and her newborn baby. And so she was worried about the storm because she was now away from her family. But God had placed on her heart to share the story again about Jesus walking on water through the storm and how Peter was willing to get off the boat. And as soon as he got his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. As soon as he focused on the storm, he started to sink. But as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was fine. We face a lot of storms in life. Some of them come in the form of tragedies again. If your eye is only on that storm, only on that tragedy, you will start to sink into depression, into loneliness, into despair. But if your eyes are on Jesus, he will always be there to lift you up. I also got to meet this wonderful guy. His name is Dallas Jerkins. He is a director. He just created a film called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. It comes out January 20th of next year. I highly recommend you guys see it. I was able to see the whole thing. It was a great movie, very funny, but has a great message behind it. You see, a lot of Christian films, the director said, focus on one person, telling one person about God, and bringing them to faith. And that's great. But he wanted to make a movie that talked about the entire church coming around one person and sharing love with them. And that's what this story was about. It was a great movie. Highly recommend you see it, because it has a great message behind it. And last but not least, I got to meet this one guy. His name is Al. You'll probably never meet Al. You'll probably never hear about Al. But Al was a really cool guy. You see, I was setting up for the conference, trying to do my speaking engagement, and I was having tech problems. That seems to follow me everywhere I go. And I could not connect to the internet. And Al was there, and he went above and beyond to try to help me out. Because while I was setting up, I played just a clip of one of the videos I was going to show. And he stopped, and he looked at me. He's like, is this a religious talk you're doing? It's like, well, I'm a Christian, and you know, I work this nonprofit that shares hope and faith with students. And he got so excited about that. And he spent the next 5 or 10 minutes telling me about his life and how he came to know Christ. And while he was so excited that I was sharing that with other people. I would have never had met Al if I hadn't gone to the conference, if I didn't have a tragedy of internet issues, talk about first world problems. But because of that, I got to meet another brother in Christ. None of this would have happened if I was too afraid to go. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. Ephesians 5, 16, 17 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I love what it says, make the best use of time. Now, let me caution you, that doesn't mean to be more busy, to put more in your schedule. Sometimes that's the worst thing you can do. But in the time that you have, make sure you have time for rest, make sure you have time to spend with your family, make sure you have time to love others, and make sure you have time to do what God has called you to do. Because we do live in dark times. But God has a will and a plan for you. Again, this part of the passage just demonstrates courage even during difficult times. Our next part of the passage is John 11:17 through 19. I think it can teach us how we can rely upon our connection with God during confusion. To rely upon connection during confusion. Verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. A couple of things I want to highlight here is this. For Mary and for Martha, the tragedy of losing their brother actually reinforced their connection with God and others. You see, during this time, there was a funeral procession. And back then, it was customary, if you were friends or family, you were expected to go so that you can comfort the family. And there was usually a period of 3 to 7 days of deep mourning and another 30 days after that of further mourning. But you were expected, if you were part of that community, to be there to support them during their difficult time. I think this is a great reminder for us that tragedy is best dealt with in a community and not alone. When you go through a hard time, the worst thing you can do is try to deal with it on your own. You need a community, you need family, you need friends, you need a church to come beside you and walk with you through that. And that's what we see happening with Mary and Martha during this time. But the other key point is this: tragedy should help us reaffirm our faith, not run from it. How oftentimes does a tragedy hit and people say, "Where's God?" And they get angry, they get upset, they get disappointed, and they run away from God instead of running to God. What does Martha do? As soon as she hears that Jesus is in town, she runs straight to Jesus. And I'm not sure how she said it, but you can almost hear her heart breaking. "Jesus, if you were only here, my brother would not have died." They go on and have this conversation back and forth. And through it, Martha says, "I believe you are the Christ. I believe you are the Son of God." Do you see what just happened? In the middle of tragedy, Martha runs to God. She expresses her disappointment, her frustration, her sadness, but she reaffirms her faith. Many people lose their faith during times of tragedy because they're so upset, they're so frustrated with God. And instead of bringing that frustration to God, they run away and they refuse to talk with him. Growing up, in college, I went through a time that was difficult, and it was 2 years later that I realized that I was actually angry with God for those 2 years. And I had to actually come and face that with God. "God, I didn't even realize this. Can you please help me? I'm disappointed about something that happened. Can you help walk me through this?" We serve a big God. He can handle our emotions. He can handle our frustration. He can handle our sadness. The worst thing we could do with our faith is if we are angry or frustrated with God to run away from him. Run to him like Martha did. That way you can get his comfort and his peace. The other thing I love about this passage is this idea that God searches for us in the midst of our pain. Did you see what Martha did when she talked with Jesus? She then went and got her sister Mary and said, "The Savior is here. Jesus is here. And he's looking for you." In the middle of your pain, you have a God who looks for you. He knows you're going through a hard time. He knows you're going through a tragedy. And he is there present. He wants to be there with you to walk you through it. Again, don't run away from him. Run to him. The other thing we get out of this is that Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." It's this idea that Jesus has the last word in all matters. Even though Lazarus has died, for most of us, we would think that's the end of the story. Jesus says, no, this is just the beginning. You have no idea what I can do. Even though this thing, your life, has died, guess what? I can bring new life to you. I don't know what situation you might be going through. If it's someone who's physically died, we have the hope that if they were a believer, we will see them again. But maybe this is a spiritual death. Maybe you had a dream or a relationship or a friendship that has died. God says, I can restore all that once was. Do you trust him to do that? Or do you run away from him and try to deal with it on your own? Many people know Jarrett Benz, who go to our church. He is one of our students who is now in Ohio for a mentorship program. That's a picture he sent of some of his discipleship group there. And Jarrett gave me permission to share the story. I was talking with Jarrett. I try to check on him every week and a half to make sure he's doing well. And he said one week that he was going through a very discouraging time. And he had called me about it, and we were able to talk through it. But at the end of our conversation, I was like, Jarrett, I'm glad you shared this with me, but you have a whole discipleship group. Did you share with them what you're going through? He said, no, I didn't want to depress them. I didn't want them to feel bad. It's like, Jarrett, that's the point of being in a Christian community. It's not just so you can pretend that everything's good. It's so that you can share both good times and bad times. Because we need each other, especially where we're going through a hard time. Well, next time I checked on Jarrett, I was like, Jarrett, did you share? And he's like, yeah. It was actually a really good experience. They were really encouraging. It's like, that's what we're supposed to be about as believers, to encourage one another in hard times and to run to God instead of running away from him. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Do you realize what it says there? We go to God and ask him for forgiveness, but we have to go to one another to find healing. I think God designs that purposely because he wants us to encourage each other, to share the experiences. Do you know there's no powerful testimony than you being able to share that I went through a tragedy and here's how God got me through it. So let me encourage you in that and for someone to do that with you as well. Again, I think this part emphasizes that we need to rely upon connection during confusion. John 11:30 through 35 shows compassion in the midst of pain. Reading at verse 30, now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. I don't know if there are any other more beautiful parts of Scripture than those two words, Jesus wept. We'll get to there in a second, but first, do you realize that Jesus went to the scene of the tragedy? He went to the tomb where Lazarus was buried. I think that's an important thing to point out because we serve a God who is present in our pain. Right in the middle of the room where you're crying because life is just shattered, God is there. Right in the school where you feel alone because everyone's making fun of you, God is there. Right in the hospital when you're crying over that loved one, God is there. We serve a God who comes to us in our pain. He's present there. He's there by our side. And then this concept that Jesus wept. I don't think we can underestimate the importance of this. I was talking to a friend who's going through a rough time. He's a manager, and he's got about 20 people that he manages. In the last 6 months, they've been hit with 4 different tragedies. Some people taking their own lives, some people just getting diagnosed with different things. And as he's walking through that with these people, I was asking, what do you do in those circumstances? He said, sometimes there's no words that you can say. All you can do is cry with them. You see, he has this idea that crying And tears help us express ourselves when words just won't do. It's just this idea that we're going through such a hard time that we have to express it in some way. I think that's what we see Jesus doing here. There's a word there that's in this passage that said Jesus was either angered or he was greatly troubled in spirit. I don't think Jesus was angry because Lazarus had passed away. He knew that he was going to bring his friend back to life. I think he was troubled because he saw all the people mourning, Mary, Martha, their friends, weeping. Why do I highlight this so heavily? Because we serve a God who feels our pain, and he weeps with us. The Bible says Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. So that tells me whenever you cry, God cries. When you're going through a tragedy, God is going through that with you. I say that so you can have comfort and encouragement that the creator of the universe cares enough about you that when you are sad, he's sad as well. He is right there in the midst of your pain, and he feels it. I'm going to ask you to indulge me just for a quick minute. I'm going to geek out for a second. If you like superheroes or comic book movies, now's the best time to live because there's a new movie coming out every other month. But if I was asked, I know you guys are dying to ask me this, what is my favorite superhero comic book movie moment of all time? It had to be found in Superman 2. This was Superman played by Christopher Reeve, the best Superman there is. There's no doubt. Don't even try to argue with me with that. There's one scene in this movie, though, where there's three guys attacking the city. And Superman is stronger and more powerful than them, so he's winning. But the leader sees something. You see, every time someone in the public is about to get hurt, Superman stops and tries to save him. And the leader gets this idea, we found his weakness. You attack the people. And there's this wonderful scene where these three guys start attacking the people in the city. And Superman stops and he says, no, the people. And he goes on to give himself up, not because he was outbeat, not because he didn't have the power to beat these guys. It was because he didn't want to see the people hurt. Superman 2 came out the same year I was born, so I didn't see it for a number of years later. But when I was a teenager and I saw it, I instantly thought about this scene with Jesus. It's this idea that we serve a God who's greater than anything we face. His one weakness is his love for us. And I don't think that's a weakness at all. I think that's one of the reasons that we praise God. Like Superman, I think Jesus in that moment was saying, no, the people. My people are hurting, and I feel it as well. Again, I highlight this because when you hurt, when you cry, Jesus is right there. The Bible says that Jesus has a full-time job right now. Jesus' work isn't done. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he prays for us. That's his full-time job. The Savior of the world prays for you and me. When we're going through a difficult time, when a family member has passed away, Jesus is praying for us. God, give them the strength to get through and to turn to you. Hebrews says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You see, we serve a God who shows compassion in the midst of our pain. One last passage, guys. You guys are doing great. This is where the story ends, but also where the story begins. It's found verse 36 through 44, and it's when Jesus brings completion to our brokenness. Verse 36 and following. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen stripes, and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Here we see the miracle of Jesus bringing Lazarus back from the dead. I think that highlights a few things. One, that Jesus goes on to complete his promise of bringing purpose out of pain. Do you remember in the very first beginning of the chapter, Jesus says that this will not end in tragedy. This is being done so God might be glorified in me as well. We now see that purpose out of pain promise coming to light. God asks us to trust in him, even when it does not make sense. I love Martha and her personality. When Jesus says, "Move the stone away from the tomb," she's like, "No, there's going to be a stench. Jesus, you don't want to do that." But Jesus says, "Trust in me. I know what's going to happen." Sometimes God asks us to trust in him. When we're in the middle of a tragedy, we don't see how God will get us through. But God says, "Trust in me. Don't rely on your own wisdom. Just have faith, and you'll see the amazing things I can do." Even in tragedy, we come to know our God even more. The Bible says that Jesus prayed out loud to his heavenly Father. He makes a note that his heavenly Father always hears him, but he's doing it out loud now so that other people might understand his relationship with God and that this is God who is doing this. Again, every tragedy, we have an opportunity to either draw away from God or draw closer to him. When you go through a tragedy, I encourage you to make it one of your points to do that tragedy, grow closer to God. That way you have purpose beyond. And Jesus has the power to make us whole once again. Jesus calls out, "Lazarus, come out." Now walks Lazarus. I'm not sure what death you face. I'm not sure what tragic times you've gone through. Whatever it is, Jesus has the power to bring life back to that moment. It might be a shattered dream that you've had. Jesus is still there. And he wants to speak life to it. One last point. When Jesus brought new life, he also encouraged us to leave the past behind. Did you notice that when Lazarus came out, he's still wrapped in grave cloth? That was a common practice for people to be wrapped in grave cloth and even put some herbs on it to help with the stench when they buried somebody. When Lazarus comes out, he's still wrapped with that. Did you notice what Jesus said? He told the people to help unwrap him, unbind him. I think that's the same thing Jesus says for us today. If you've gone through a tragedy, gone through a hard time, you need to leave the past behind. And you need help doing that. That's why I encourage people to be with good Christian family, to go talk to a pastor, go talk to a counselor, whatever it might be. The only way you're going to move forward if you're set free from those old grave clothes that you were in. We learn a lot from this passage about Jesus restoring life from death. This truly is a miracle, but I think there's a lot of things we can take away from it. One, it provides clarity during tragedy. When we go through a hard time, especially if we're a believer, know that there is a purpose, there is a reason. We can demonstrate courage during difficulty. Again, there are some things in life that are worth the risk. Following God is always worth that risk. Encourage us to rely upon connection during confusion. When you're going through a hard time, you can run away from God or you can run to him. You can run away from community or you can run to people to get help. We have a God who shows compassion in the midst of our pain. Jesus wept. Whenever you're going through a hard time, remember that. Your God cries over you. And so he knows what you're going through. And we serve a God who can bring completion out of brokenness. Whatever tragedy you've gone through, if you allow God to do it, he can bring some great things from it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And that in of itself is a miracle, God. But we thank you for all the things that we can learn along the way. God, we get frustrated as people because sometimes we've been praying for you, like Mary and Martha, and we sin for you. God, please help. And it seems like you're delaying, God. And God, we don't understand the reason why. But we trust you. We know that you are a God who cares about us, so you won't let us go through a difficult time unless there's a great reason for it. So I pray that during those midst of tragedy, during those times, that we would keep our focus on you and that we would know that you have our best interests at heart. We pray that you encourage everyone today that whatever tragedy that they might have been through or might be going through, that they would know that you are a God who loves them and is right by their side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.